Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Kotowska and I will be your host. This is UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of studies, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, and fitness fads. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most importantly, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercise that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life. We will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go. In today's show, we will be talking about body types. What is it and does it really matter what body type you are? Body type or somatype refers to the idea that there are three generalized body compositions that people are predetermined to have. The theory that personality is determined by body composition has been deeply criticized by the psychological community. Additionally, we know that no one is predetermined to either be fat, muscular, or thin. Our guest speaker today is Beth Lewis, sport nutrition advisor, massage therapist, personal trainer. Beth helps her clients to feel confident in their bodies, their lifestyle, with their relationship to food and working out. She helps her clients to build healthy mindsets and sustainable habits, resulting in higher confidence level, better fitness, and healthier lifestyle all around. Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for accepting the invitation on my behalf on UK Health Radio. I'm very happy to have you so you can share your knowledge. Yes, Beth.
Thanks, I guess, for asking.
Tell me and tell us more about yourself. What do you do? Tell us. Who are you?
Yeah. So I am a personal trainer in London. Do you know what? This question always stumps me. I am technically also a massage therapist, but don't really practice that right now. I work with women, teaching them how to lift weights, how to feel, I guess, confident in the gym, just kind of simplifying the overcomplicated at the moment.
There we go. Right. So that's the reason why I wanted you to be a part of the show, because I knew you kind of from lifting weights and being very involved on Instagram, showing how to lift weight, instructing and kind of encouraging people to do that, which I found it important and interesting, because I found so many people always questioning, oh, lifting weights will make me feel this way and that way, make me look bulky, and all this, I would say, myths about what lifting weight means and is. So that's why I thought the connection with the subject is very important, because subject today is body type. So how to train and also the diet for your body type. And that's what I've seen throughout years, that this is what you've been doing. If you could explain to us or let us know your perspective of what body type is, because you have certain body type and we spoke about it a little bit, and you had that, I don't know, stigma assigned to what you were doing and how your body should look like. So if you can tell us more about that.
Where to start? I'm a big fan of not really training. I'm not a big kind of like changing your aesthetics and training to be a certain kind of way in your body. And I encourage a lot of my clients to find exercise that fits not just obviously what they enjoy, but like what fits their lifestyle and what fits their kind of life stage at that time. And most of the time it comes down to some kind of weight training. Some people obviously don't enjoy it. They just really don't get on with it. But finding, I guess, the type of exercise or the form of exercise that fits your body type most. And I guess that kind of came from me coming from the dance industry, and kind of although I am quite petite, like most people, I always feel like I'm bigger when I'm around people because I gain muscle very easily. And I was obviously in the dance industry, anyone who's been in the dance industry knows your body is constantly being critiqued. And regardless of like how hard you work on it, it's always, you're being compared by whoever's in the room with you or to whoever's in the room with you. And a lot of the time it is just like, you don't look big enough. You don't look small enough. You don't look tall enough. Like you're too short, you're too tall. And it's kind of like you can never win, which if you love dance and like you have enough passion for it, then obviously it works. But I learned probably too late, but I'm not mad about it. I don't regret it. That I just didn't have a passion for it. And my passion came way more into kind of weightlifting. And that's kind of where I am now. Yeah, does that kind of answer that question?
That answer one part. So if you can tell us what the body type means or is for people who don't understand it, or they just entering at the gym and they want to train with you.
Wow, that is a broad question that I hadn't even thought about answering, really. I guess body type is just, I guess, in combination of like how tall you are with how quickly you adapt to, I guess, gaining muscle, or whether you have muscle already or whether you don't, whether you maybe store a little bit more body fat. Yeah, and I think it goes way beyond what the scientific terms of body type are in terms of being kind of like tall and skinny, short and muscly, and then that in between. And I guess finding where you are depends, I guess, where you're, this is complicated, I guess it goes into where your goals are. But one of the things that I do as a coach is try not to focus too much, I know that sounds really weird, is trying to focus a little bit less on what your goals are right at the beginning, and how your goals develop as you go through. So your body type will be massively, although there are genetics, it's massively down to your lifestyle and how you live your life. So obviously that's diet, that is exercise, and how you, what you do for a day-to-day job, and yeah, that's the thing that's going to really influence it most of the time. I think that's what I'm saying.
Funny enough, every time I started to do something in life, for example with my boxing, I never thought, oh, I will take it this far. So the goals, my goals always slightly change or develop while I go with certain things. So I'm thinking, okay, my starting point is this, but I would never say that this is where I'm going to end up. So I fully hear you on that side in that way. So if you have a client, for example, a lady comes to you and, you know, you work at the gym, so it's equipment, this is lift weighting. How would you assess her? What would you, she doesn't know anything. She's just like, Beth, I want you to train me. I wanted to just feel good, look better, gain some muscles. How would you start the journey with her?
Yeah. So I mean, funnily enough, that is literally what most of my client base is at the moment. I guess coming in from the pandemic, everyone's kind of wanting to get onto a health journey and kind of understand their body more. And generally, like, my process is just obviously finding out what they do day to day, and figuring out what they can actually fit into their life. And then in the actual gym session, just taking it slowly. So basic movement patterns. So going through squat, pull, squat, hinge, push, pull, seeing obviously where they're at, if there's any imbalances, and then just building on that and trying to find what they enjoy. So obviously most women right now will come and they say they want to work on their legs or their glutes. And obviously I'll take that into consideration, and down the line, that is something that we'll massively work on. But to start off with, it is just finding out that whole kind of whole balance, and getting them to try exercises that they probably feel like they don't like. A lot of my clients come and they say they don't like deadlifts or they don't like squats. And within weeks, that's kind of like their favorite exercise because they've suddenly learned how to do it properly. They lift heavier, they're feeling empowered, they feel more confident. And that's what they want to do with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Did you have situations where someone comes to you and tells you, I don't want to lift weights, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I don't want it. And then within a week, two or a month, they all of a sudden in love with weightlifting. Did you have that situation?
It's happened quite a lot. At the old gym that I was working at, it happened a lot because you'd get a lot of people coming in. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't like classes because they make me lift weights. I don't like lifting weights, but I want to tone up. And they'd just be like, I want to lift like anything under 5 kilos for like loads and loads of reps, which I think in the early days, I probably did just go with it and then see. And most of the time it was kind of just letting them be in that kind of mindset. And then over time they would obviously see my training and then they see other people and like my clients' training and they're like, actually I want to try that, or like I want to do a little bit more. So most of the time it's just about not being pushy, listening to obviously what they want, giving them what they want, but also encouraging them to like explore different options. And I think it comes down to that whole thing of like, I'm like 7 years into training after obviously my dance career, it's very short. And like, although sometimes in the gym, like I catch myself and I'm like, oh, muscles, but in general, like I am still pretty small.
Do you think that perception in people's eyes changes within the knowledge they're gaining, or is the experience, or what is it? I don't know. I have so many people that, especially females, they're so tremendously afraid of anything more than 5 kg, like you're saying. They think right away they're going to become a man. And I don't know how to sometimes speak to them. I direct them to scientific sources, to some articles. Still, the myths, that idea is in the head. So how do you cope with that? And do you have that switch in them that maybe they actually start to think differently? Is it that comes with knowledge or experience?
I think in the early days, like I definitely, like you, went down the route of like scientific studies and like proof, as in like scientific, rather than being like, I know and this is the way. However, I really don't think people really want to listen to that. And I think sometimes people are like, yeah, well, there's science for everything nowadays. Like they just believe what people have said. And obviously in media, social, I think things are changing now. Like the last 2 years, I've seen a lot of change. But I think nowadays it's more, like you say, it's the experience thing. Because I think as much as you know, and as much as someone, unless you're in that mindset of being like, which most of my clients are, they're like, okay, actually, I don't know anything, I'm going to go to a professional for help. A lot of people that have that kind of misconception of, I guess, weights making you bulky and make, like lifting heavy weight is going to make me big. They're already stuck in that mindset, like that's what they know and that's all they know. However much I turn around and say lifting weights does not make you bulky, they need to kind of see it and they need to kind of breathe it. So yeah, it's like I say, it's given them maybe a few weeks of what they want, slowly increasing, and then like they realize over time, or seeing, even I post a lot of my clients, or I used to post a lot of my clients on kind of Instagram and stuff, and people would see their journey and they're like, oh, actually, like their body hasn't really changed that much in terms of muscle size, like it's just the fact that they've tightened up, they look better, they feel better, they're moving better. And I think that's it's that whole experience thing more than telling them how it is.
Did you have any client that would be like, nope, never change their mind? And then there's some moment where you kind of feel a little stuck as a trainer too. What can I do? How can I talk to them? Or what sort of approach should I choose? Tough love or being more nice, or try and experience? Did you have that experience where, for example, for several weeks, months, you've been training a person and that person still is like, nope. And that's basically your way of teaching or your way of coaching, because you know you're at the gym, you cannot be 60 minutes on the bicycle, or you cannot do for 20 minutes burpees. You have to incorporate that with some form of weight. Did you have that experience, and how did you
do that? I just one person comes out to mind. Like I had a client at the old gym I was working at who was very in that mindset, and like there was no way of ever getting her to lift anymore. And it kind of just got to a point where, because it was just kind of fad diet after fad diet, however much I was like, you need to eat more, she was coming like obviously lightheaded, dizzy throughout sessions, but constantly wanting to push more in terms of cardio. And it just kind of turned around at one point and I was like, I don't think I can help you. Like, this is the way that it is. Like, if you want this, then you're going to want to go to kind of like a Barry's or a boot camp, or like somewhere that is designed for that, like if that's what you want. But if you're gonna, regardless of whether you're paying me or not, I was miserable in the sessions because I just felt like I wasn't helping them get anywhere, if that makes sense. Like it was just an hour out of my day, which I don't want to say I hated, because obviously I still love spending time with my clients and it is like that social interaction, but I just, yeah, it wasn't what I wanted to do, and I wasn't getting her where I just didn't feel like I was helping her or like giving her anything that she needed. And I think it is like, I'm sure that one day maybe it will click. But I think, yeah, it is just that that's how they've been brought up, and there's different cultures, there's different like ways around it. but for the most part, people kind of, it's the experience thing, and they see the growth over time.
Yeah. So yeah. Going back to more of the body type. So how would you say, what would be your advice, how to improve body composition?
This kind of, I guess this comes back to how I coach clients. And it comes down to that whole, I'm not a big fan of, I don't say changing your body composition, but trying to be in control of your body composition all the time, because something that I'm sure we've all learned the last year or so, but something that I've learned definitely over, I was injured the year before, and it was a big kind of turning point, is that you are never going to be in control of how your body is for the rest of your life. As a woman, like, I'm still relatively young, but I am aware that with kind of like, obviously,
how old are you?
25.
Oh geez, you're a baby. That's right.
obviously as a female, you've got pregnancy, you've got menstruation, you've got menopause, everything in those life stages. And obviously, even without being a female, but definitely as a female, you cannot be in control of your body composition forever. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to, like, don't get me wrong, like, I still try and lean out, like, over the summer. But I've also come to terms with the fact that around the year seasonally, like, my body has different sitting points that it sits at. So I think that's the first thing, is to be comfortable. And I know everyone says this at the moment, like, with loving your body and being comfortable in your body, but the moment you get that, and the moment you find a kind of activity type that fits that, the moment you can then start working on, I guess, specific body parts or those things. But I would say, obviously, composition is mainly down to kind of your nutrition, especially when it comes to kind of fat loss or fat gain. And then in terms of the, I guess, the recomposition muscle size type thing, I don't know, it's difficult to say, because I am very much against having a specific body type you try and work towards, and instead just working with what you've got. So rather than trying to lose lots and lots of body fat and decrease the size of your waist, increasing maybe the size of your legs and the size of your kind of lats and widening out, so that you get a little bit more curves in that way, just because obviously the muscle that you gain will be much easier to maintain, like, year round, than I guess keeping to a certain body fat percentage. Not to mention that obviously body fat percentages usually need to be higher than you think.
And what's your overview about dieting? What's your idea? What's your overview about it?
Honestly, like, this is, I mean, this comes back to an age thing, but this is something that probably I've only really come to terms with over the last year. And I feel like the last year I've just been in probably the best place I've ever been with food, coming obviously from dance as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's the same thing in that kind of area. And it is exactly as you just say, like, getting used to not saying no, essentially saying yes to more, but also understanding food. So what I do a lot with my clients, so I do have additional nutrition qualifications, education, whatever you call it. So I do a lot of, like, understanding food and knowing how to pair food together to get to where kind of you want to be. My goals in terms of calories with clients is to keep them as high as possible, to keep metabolism high. I never really come low, and the idea is obviously you never feel hungry. Like, if you're feeling hungry, then you're probably doing something wrong. I guess the thing with the diets thing, like you say, anytime you eliminate anything is the problem, like, that's the time you're going to have a problem. That's when you are taking something out that needs to be there. Like, if your body wants it, then you're probably doing something wrong, if that makes sense. If you're having massive cravings, then you're probably not feeding yourself the way it needs to be. That's not to say that cravings are bad, but just within moderation. Like, we're all gonna want stuff, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, how do you feel about cutting carbs from your diet?
Just never worth it. Like, that's all I'll say. Like, the thing is, your carbs are, like, I know everything is, but it is your energy source. And although people say that you don't need them, like, you'll notice a massive difference. And the problem, like, I'll have people come in and be like, should I just decrease carbs for the 2 weeks before I go on holiday so that I am smaller and leaner? Like, you can do that. But as soon as you go on holiday and you're going to have some alcohol, or you're going to have, like, a buffet where you eat, or you go to a nice restaurant, you're going to just bloat back up again. So you're better off, like, having the foods in your diet and allowing your body to understand how to digest it and how to kind of work through it, than having not having them at all, and then massively bloating and like gaining kind of like water weight over time.
I would never cut carbs out of my diet due to the intensity of my daily lifestyle. Yeah. Forget about trainings. It's just even the way I move. I need energy, and is that simple. Carbs are the biggest source of your energy. Okay, you want to cut carbs during the evening? No problem. Perfect. Perfect. But during the day, before training, 3 hours before training, have it. So then you're going to feel the difference. But they already have that idea. Oh my God, I got some carbs. Now I'm going to just put one more kilos on and whole journey is over and my process goes to trash. Again, with those magical diet, juice diet, proteins diet, this diet, no meat diet, I found it extremely overwhelming for the client instead of you focusing on your training and just eating healthy, you're focusing on how to cut your diet, think about your diet, where that should be least of your concerns. Think of your training, think of your body, of your health, and then the rest will fall into place. And maybe cut little things slowly. Let's look at your diet and cut something that you eat too much, you overeat, or maybe let's choose healthier options. But that doesn't mean you have to completely cut something out. That's my idea, my opinion. But I found this very challenging when you explain that to clients.
So I think, yeah, and I guess it's just exactly what you say. And like, I used to be that person who'd go straight in and be like, okay, this is your calorie goal, this is whatever. But it is just for people who don't understand what like protein, carbs and fat are, or even what a calorie is really, because it is still relatively new. Not only is it overwhelming, it's just pointless. So, I mean, I do tracking calories with my clients. I know some people do, some people don't. If my clients don't want to, then I will just do food diaries, but it's much less about, okay, we're kind of cut those calories down. And actually it's, let's make sure you're eating enough to actually fuel your day and your activity. And I guess it all comes down to like, it just all comes down to lifestyle. At the end of the day, if you're not moving your body and you're working out say twice a week, you probably don't need as much food, and that's absolutely fine. But I want you to work to a point where you are moving your body more and you are eating more because you want to and because it makes you feel good. Because I mean, I definitely learned in the last year, like how much, as much as I felt like I was fine not being able to train and just walking and just like running, cycling or whatever, it wasn't until I came back in that I realized how much of a better person I am now that I'm eating twice as much as I was like 4 months ago, but also working out probably like triple, maybe even four times the amount. And it doesn't come, it's not me being like, oh, I need to get it done so that I can eat, or like, I need to get it done so that my body is a certain way. It's just like, that is my life. And that's what I try and encourage clients to have, is an activity that they finish the day or they start their day like looking forward to and wanting to get done. And then once they find that, the food kind of just fits into it, because like you say, with the carbs, like experiment with it, like see how you feel on a day with no carbs to a day with carbs, and then you'll completely understand like where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. So how would you approach to different people with body types? Someone, a man who is, I don't know, 100 kilos, and a female who is 50-60 kgs, how would you differentiate the training for and diet for those two type of people?
Yeah. My approach, to be fair, with all of my clients is the same in that first kind of 2 to 4 week block, is just seeing where you're at. So like with food, it's just getting you to track your food. I'll say, obviously, try and increase the amount of like fruits and veg you've got and have a lot of variety. Make sure you're eating obviously enough protein. Sometimes I'll give like a protein goal to hit for, because most, especially women, don't eat enough protein. They don't hit that. And even just sorting that out like in itself will massively change how you eat for the rest of the day. And then in terms of training, again, like see where you're at. Depends, obviously, if you come in and you've been training for 5 days a week, then sometimes, most of the time, it's decreasing that and making it more effective. And then if it's someone who's never done anything before, rather than giving them a whole like 4 or 5 day training split, just doing maybe one this week, two the week after, and then just building on that. Sometimes it will go into say 3 sessions, but for most of that time we're just working on movement and how you move rather than lifting and loading lots of weight. And then yeah, building from there obviously depends on your goal. In terms of training, it's pretty much the same, I would say. Like I don't think, unless unless you do have massive differences in terms of goals, but like I say, because I don't work with people massively on aesthetics and like how you look, the training type and volume is pretty much the same.
It's yeah. just probably different weights, different loads,
yeah.
and stuff like that. But
yeah,
the structure would be pretty similar, would it be?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like you say, like so weight, obviously weights can be different depending on obviously your body type, as in weight wise, how kind of how well you move, if you've got good mobility, like flexibility and strength, or whether you've done lots before. You get a lot of people who've come in who've literally never even played sport before and their coordination is awful. Like you have to spend a lot of time on that. Whereas if you've got someone who's come in and they've played sports their whole life, you probably just need to, the things that need to be fixed are things that are like imbalances or like weaker cores. And most of the time, yeah, like the actual programming and stuff is pretty much the same depending on what their goal is. If they just want to grow strength, like then obviously strength training. If it's more muscle building, then slightly changes.
So how to identify body type?
Yeah.
You see me, for example, I come to you. I'm pretty tall, pretty lean. What would be your assessment?
In what way? As in like, what are we identifying body type for? So I guess that is like, it's just a common thing. Like I literally started this talk saying like, I always felt like I was bigger than I am. And like, it is a client thing where like, or a common thing where clients come in and they say, I've got way too much body fat, or like, I need to work on this area. And I think the thing with the body type thing, and this is why I've kind of stumped on a lot of the questions, is because I don't really pay a lot of attention to it, mainly because it doesn't matter in terms of the way I train my clients, especially. Of course, if you store like more body fat in a certain area, like because you can't spot reduced fat, so you can't just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to work my arms and lose loads of weight from my arms, or oh, I've got loads of fat on my belly, so I'm just going to do loads of ab work, because that doesn't work that way. The only way you're going to lose the body fat from that weight is over time being in a calorie deficit, which I don't really work for in terms of decreasing calories, but instead increasing activity and then working the calories around that. I guess it's explaining that. That is probably the one thing in terms of science that I will explain, is the fact that you cannot spot reduce. But I guess it's over time, just letting them come to realize that. And actually, I guess it's rather than changing their views on, I guess it is changing their views on their body, but rather than being like, okay, no, that's not how you are, and that's not what this is like. I guess showing them that that is the case, and the fact that actually working your body overall will help you in those areas.
Let's forget about the labels. Let's forget about who you are. Let's just try to direct you into the right path, fitness path, so then you can see the results easier and more effectively. Our work will progress, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably, it's something that I actually, funnily enough, don't come across so much. I think it is that whole trust thing. I don't tend to get, as many people do come in that way, like I'm not going to be like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Like you want to lose body fat from your arms, so we're going to do loads of arm stuff. I generally do explain and just say, like, do you trust me? Like you're paying me this, like, yeah, this is what we want to kind of work on. I do, like with arms and stuff, I do tend to do that whole thing of like, okay, we're going to do more work for your arms so we can build the muscle in your arms, because even if you obviously lose the fat from your arms, the skin is still going to be there. And generally over time, people do realize, especially women, that building muscle in their arms is aesthetically pleasing, and actually that's what they were aiming for the whole time. They just didn't realize it because they've just been inundated with pictures of bodybuilders with huge arms.
Yeah. Yeah. So your whole perspective of kilograms and weight, what's your point of view?
It's actually something that I cover quite early on. And I kind of, even without a client, maybe meant, because I do use weight quite a bit to track, but not tracking progress, but mainly tracking kind of mental progress, because I'm not a bigger fan of, there's a lot of coaches out here at the moment who are like, okay, we're not going to weigh yourself. You're not going to look at your weight. We're not going to acknowledge it. My view on that personally is that you're just covering up an injury with a bandage. I'd rather you just acknowledge your weight and be okay with it and get come to terms with it. It's the same as gaining weight, losing weight, like, and seeing it physically, just being okay with it and understanding you don't have full control over it. The biggest like thing that I point out at the beginning is you are probably going to gain weight, and that's fine, because that's what we want. The higher your weight, the the higher your metabolism, the more you're going to be able to eat longer into the future. So like, as you know, as we age, like your metabolism will slow down regardless of where you're at. Like, we want to keep that as high and healthy as possible. And I kind of make that, I guess I make that argument, I guess, right at the beginning. And that's what I say, is it doesn't matter. I think at the moment, weight stigma, there's a lot of it around at the moment. And I think the clients that I work with are very aware of it. They don't quite understand it, but they know that their weight isn't supposed to be something that they're worrying about. So it is just giving them the facts on that and letting them see that sometimes their weight will increase. Majority of the time it will, and you'll feel better for it.
Yeah. And I always try to bring different images from Instagram or something, if they don't fully trust me, like, look guys, that person was like this before, now it's like this, which one you prefer? Oh, the more muscly one. But that muscly one actually is heavier in terms of kilograms, but healthy.
I think also for me, using myself as an example works quite well. Like, so just telling people my weight and telling them how many calories I eat per day really helps. Because then people are kind of like, wow, like, especially when they do track and they see where their metabolism is. I'm like, it's not about the, because there's so much about calorie. I hate the whole calorie deficit thing at the moment, because I just feel like it's overused and not explained enough and people don't understand. If people are constantly being seen, like, seeing calorie deficit and eating less and controlling your intake, no one ever thinks about the fact that actually if you increase your outgoing, then your intake doesn't really, it will increase. It will go with it, and it's okay. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Same thing with the BMI. What's your overview about the BMI? Because we used to, the old school was all about the BMI and counting the BMI, and we've been taught about it at school, where now there's more and more articles and scientific proofs that the BMI situation is not really that accurate.
Yeah, I mean, you can see from the laugh. No, it's one of those things. I think this was the problem. I think I was like 14 and I went to the doctor and they told me I was like obese. And I was like, I literally have no fat. Like, that's not possible. And I think the thing is, like, I was educated. I don't want to say educated, but I was educated enough to know that I obviously wasn't. I knew that. However, it always played on my mind. Like, I still am now technically overweight. Like, it's always going to say that. And that's another thing that I will use with clients. And I just kind of laugh about it and say, look, like, it's not accurate. Even doctors are starting now to say that, like, it needs to be scrapped. I think the thing is, nowadays, like, I don't really ever get any clients really asking about BMI anymore. And they're like, oh, I think my BMI needs to come down. I think people are more aware of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess it would be that explaining thing of the fact that muscle is going to be obviously denser. So you are gonna probably weigh a little bit more, and it doesn't take into account, like, because the BMI is created for general public, right? It's not created for athletes or anything. And I've always been an active person. Like, I played sport, like every sport growing up, as well as obviously dancing until I kind of left uni. And yeah, I think knowing that it's not made for, I guess, the general public in the first place definitely helped. But yeah, I guess it comes back to your thing of the fact that actually people don't use it as much anymore.
Going back a little bit more personal, how did you overcome the pressure of the body image that was expected from you when you were dancing?
I think, to be fair, like, I'm not going to like sit here and say that I dealt with it well, because I don't think I did. I think for me, the positive from it was that it made me realize that I wasn't passionate enough about dancing to continue that career, like, and to continue that. I think, yeah, it's a tough one. And I'm not, because, like, it's a sensitive topic, but because I don't know if they even really have an answer. I think it's something, I'd say I've overcome it now more in kind of like the fitness industry. And I know that I'm in a better place with it now. As in, like, obviously there's still a massive body image pressure in the fitness industry, to the point that, like, probably I think 2 years ago, I remember like breaking down and being like, I don't look how I need to be. Like, people aren't going to hire me because I don't have ripped abs. And like, I don't train every day because I focus way more on my business than I do on training. And I think it does just come down to the education part of it. And like I was talking about before, being very okay in your body and in your lifestyle. So like, if you're happy with how you live your lifestyle, because a lot of those insecurities weren't coming from the fact that I wasn't happy with my body. Like, it was coming from the fact that I wasn't fully sure in what I, how I spent my day to day. And I think when I, if you go back to feeling as a dancer, being compared to everyone around you, like some of the things that I was getting upset about or being knocked down for were literally things that I couldn't control, like literally being too short or gaining, like being a little bit more muscly. Like, that's never going to really change. I've always built muscle very easily and very quickly. So I think, yeah, I guess it comes down to identifying your body type in a way, but also just not holding on to it too tightly. And I guess finding that passion, I guess.
How did you start to love your body type? You know, I think that's something that you have to fall in love with. Just like myself, I always was like, yeah, I wanted to be a slightly taller, because if I was taller, then I could go and be a model in USA or whatever. But because I was missing those 2-3 centimeters, and because I was, yeah, more athletic, I was not getting jobs. So I was kind of upset at the beginning. I was so upset with myself and kind of almost hated myself. That's why I guess I a little bit developed bad eating habits and eating disorders until I started to understand I'm athletic. And that's what it is.
And I think that is it. Like, I think I said this when we spoke initially. It's that whole, I found that I don't want to say I have a talent for it, or I don't want to say that I'm like very good at it, because that I'm still very early on in my journey, but I built better for strength and like strength training. Like, I am just starting out and realizing that actually, like, powerlifting will be my sport and will be the one that I go into. And I think it's finding that type of exercise that I don't want to say suits your body type, but it suits your body type, but suits your lifestyle as well. Like, I'll still always be a dancer. Like, I will always dance when music comes on, but at the same time, like,
what dancer you are, what style of dance you were training?
This is the funny thing. Like, so the thing is, like, obviously I grew up doing the typical jazz, modern, tap, everything, and obviously ballet. I really enjoyed ballet, but that was the one that I was like, I know my body type doesn't fit it. Like, I was too short with the people around me. I know you do have short ballet dancers, but also too muscly, that kind of area things. And then going into even contemporary, like, you do have more muscly contemporary dancers now, and you do have, like, obviously those companies that are in that. But I was always told I looked good doing like street and hip hop, and that wasn't what I enjoyed, and that I just felt stupid doing it, which sounds stupid because, like, even watching myself back, I'm like, oh yeah, I do look good, but like, it just wasn't what I enjoyed. And I think sometimes rather than I could have just pursued that. I could have been like, oh yeah, that's my body type, I'm going to go for that. Rather than doing that, just keep exploring different types of activity. Because the thing that, like, I guess weightlifting has given me, it's that hobby and that activity as an adult that empowers me, makes me feel confident and makes me want to be better. Like, I just really enjoy getting stronger. And I see that when I train with friends, like, I've got friends who are much more like long, lean, athletic, endurance based. And they will do like really high rep sets. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like doing anything over like an 8 rep set. I'll stick to my 5s.
I remember when I went to the show, So You Think You Can Dance, they thought I'm going to dance ballet or contemporary because I have long limbs and I'm tall. And because of my type of beauty, they thought, oh, you're a perfect ballerina. I'm like, nah, I'm actually doing hip hop. They were like, what? Like,
Yeah, and I think, and that's the thing, is you know, like, you find that one that you're passionate about, and then you do just go into it, and that's what you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can still like something without it having to be your passion. And I think that's the biggest thing that I learned with the dance.
Well, I don't think you said it. How did you start to lift weights? Why are you lift weighting? Where the idea came from? How?
So when I was at uni, it was always drilled into us that fitness and, like, which is, I'm really glad about, because honestly, like, it wasn't something that was talked about before I got to uni. And I feel like the uni that I went to just drilled it very well. But it was very much like, you need to be working on your fitness, you need to be going to the gym, you need to be doing this as well as coming to class. And for my first 2 years, honestly, like, I probably went to the gym and sat on the bike, maybe sat on a few machines. I remember being that girl who would take the kettlebell from one side of the gym into like the weights on an app and just be doing it. And as soon as someone would come in, I'd just be pretending that I was stretching. And I tell that story to clients all the time as well. Like, we all start somewhere. But I think I had some friends who were like, I did like some gymnastics and cheer and stuff, and I had friends who did like weightlifting, like Olympic weightlifting, but I was always too scared to go to the classes. And then in my third year, like my I think my friend had a boyfriend who was into it, and we just started going to the gym together, and it was just a morning thing. And I got really like learning how to do it, enjoyed it. Then when I graduated, I had so many injuries as a dancer, as I'm sure many dancers do, and no one really ever taught me how to look after my body. And I decided that I obviously didn't want to do dance anymore. Already had like kind of my exercise instructing qualifications and stuff, so I was like, let's just get a job in a gym for a while. And I decided to do my sports massage qualification. And kind of where that came from was just like, I'm just going to learn about my body. I was kind of found that I was good at science part of things at uni. And then, yeah, from that, like, just was going to the gym. That was like my hobby. I think when you're in London, you graduate, all your friends move out of London. You don't really have many friends around. And all I did was spend, I like went to work, went to the gym. Didn't really have a lot of like disposable income. So obviously I wasn't going out for like after work drinks and stuff, just going to the gym. And yeah, and then one point just got really fed up of where I was working and was like, do you know what? I'm going to become a PT. Became a PT, and the rest is kind of where it is. I think it is that whole thing. I'm very good at listening to my intuition and like listening to my gut and doing what I want to do. And I think that's kind of, yeah, where it came from.
Amazing. All right. So, you know, we have this part in our interview that is called Fact or a Fat. Now, today I just decided to do slightly different because we had so many questions already answered. I would like to know from you, what is the biggest misconception or myth or fact that you ever heard?
Oh, Lord.
About particularly weightlifting and maybe fitness or all this, you know, craziness, diets, juices. What are the biggest misconceptions? Can you think of something?
I think we've already spoken about like most of them. Like, obviously, I'd say the biggest misconception is that you're going to wake up one morning and be like bulky. Like, and that you're going to have loads and loads of muscle. Like, I wish that was the case. Second, in terms of nutrition, one, that carbs are bad or fat is bad. And I guess the fact that you have to massively, I guess this is probably about an underrated one, but the fact that you have to be massively on with your diet and your training to get results. I don't think anyone really talks about this enough. But unless you're going to be a competitive bodybuilder or a competitive athlete, and I think this is, I pride myself a lot in not training my, I train my clients to be general public. I'm not going to train my clients to be an athlete. Like, they're not athletes unless they want to be an athlete. And then by that point, I'm not the trainer for you. But like, you find balance in that. You don't have to be 100%. It's not even 80-20. Like, it is. You find where your body wants to be and your body will sit. So is that kind of a good enough one?
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I love everyone's opinions and different point of views. I absolutely agree with you. Thank you so much. It's great. It's been a pleasure to speaking to you and having different perspective, especially from someone who been in industry, dance industry, and then been judged and then move on to weightlifting. I think it's a very important female to female speak about it, because men will talk about it and they always going to do the weightlifting. But I think females are still very skeptical and afraid of that. And we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. So thank you for sharing your knowledge and experience. And thank you for accepting the invitation again on that.
And thank you for asking.
If there's anything you would like to say or mention at the end, please do so. Where we can find you, how they can contact with you, share your socials.
Oh, wow. Thank you. My Instagram is at Best Labors Fit. That's probably the best way to just find me and contact if you do have any questions. But yeah, I think that's everything.
Thank you, Beth. Yeah. Thank you for taking your time and have a lovely
Thank day. You very much. And love you.
Thank you so much to Beth. And now, as usual, it's time for our short workout together. Again, today we have three exercises. This time it's a little mix. A mix of lower body, some core, and cardio. All together in a short workout.
We're going to work for 45 seconds as usual, and you have 15 seconds rest recovery time. We're going to have 3 rounds of the same 3 exercises, and you're going to have 1 minute break in between rounds. Are we ready, team? Listen up. Okay. Your first exercise, I call it the frog walk. So you in your squat position, your booty should be somewhere around between your knees level. Open your feet wide. Have your hands either on your shoulders or in praying position. You can see the video on my Instagram, so make sure you check the technique, okay? So you're going to be in your frog walk, and you're going to walk 2, 3, 4 steps forward, and the same 2, 3, 4 steps backwards. It depends how many steps you want to do. It's up to you, team. But make sure your booty is low, your chest is open, shoulder blades together, chin up. Keep breathing. While you're walking forward, make sure you start with your heel. So walk, walk, walk forward, heel. While you're walking backwards, start from your toes. Toes, back, back, back. And again, keep walking for 45 seconds. Then you get your 15 seconds rest recovery time. And exercise number 2, team, we're going to mix some squats, so lower body, with side crunch. I call it side crunch squat. So all together, you're opening your feet wide, your hands are up. You can hold your hands on top, you don't need to. Okay, so we're going to squat deep and low, again, booty around your knees level, and then you're raising your knee high up onto your elbow while you're squatting. You're working on your legs, and while you're going for your side crunch, you're working mainly on your obliques as well as your core. But the obliques are the one that work the most in this exercise. You can keep switching sides, team, or you can stick to one side for 20 to 23 seconds and then you switching sides. Alright, team, so that was exercise number 2. We're moving on to exercise number 3, the last one, and I call it the quick fit or sprints in spot. All you're doing is you're hinging forward, booty out, knees slightly bent. You're using your ball of your feet. So don't be heavy on your feet, be light on your feet. And sprint, like you're sprinting in the park, anywhere, but this time we're doing this at the house. Sprint, 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 sprint for 45 seconds. Right, okay, and that was round number 1. What we wanted to do is we wanted to repeat the same round 2 more times. So in total you have nice 3 rounds of quick and effective workout. You can take that workout, team, outdoor, indoor, to your office, in your work break, anywhere you want. And it will be amazing to see your version of this workout. If you wanted to see the technique properly, please visit my Instagram, Fitness with NK, and UK Health Radio Instagram. We will post those exercises over there so you can actually see if you're doing this exercise correctly. Film yourself, tag me in your workout video, ask me any questions. You can always DM me. I am there for you. Good luck! What makes our bodies what they are is a variety of environmental and social influences. Genetic variations, geographic locations, and personal decisions. No one exists within purely one body type. We are all somewhere between all three. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, Fitness with NK, where you can leave your message. Make sure you visit my website, www.nataliakotowska.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.